T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
If you're there and you're just kind of feeling out everything, you're feeling out the scene, the situation, the stadium, feeling out the other team, see where they're at. And that's the first time you kind of get to look your opponent in the
eye. Tom Brady loves some Tom Brady. Mm. Oh, this is what I'm thinking. I get to look the competitor in his eye. This is the first time. And you get to say, let's go.
Let's go.
Booyah.
Jalen Ramsey had a lot to say about various quarterbacks around the league. He said, you don't suck.
Okay. This kind of game is going
to
be.
You saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something? I don't fear no man.
If you're going
to
compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
He good now.
Mm.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
I got a line if I say the Shannon Sharpe's, let's go, is better than Tom Brady's, more authentic, no?
Especially when he does his, when he's in his white boy voice.
Tom's good.
When he gets going, he tries to, you know, mock Brady, he kind of morphs from, you know, Shannon Sharpe into, you know, white guy Shannon Sharpe.
Let's go!
He is like it. It's pretty good.
I do wonder about the whole Instagram thing with Tom Brady, yeah. You know, that he sent out, and the little, you know, Jalen Ramsey's all over it. Yeah. Fournette's face is on there, Gronk and himself. But, you know, the whole TB12 times that was, like, following the games. Now you're going to put, is he going to put this out, like, every Friday night? Like a, because he's done this before, but the...
Oh, you know what? I have my Bluetooth on.
Let's go! Let's go!
Is it on the deck?
The 12th start in an AFC Championship game for Tom Brady.
I think you're there and you're just kind of feeling out everything. You're feeling out the scene, the situation, the stadium. Feeling out the other team, see where they're at. And that's the first time you kind of get to look your opponent in the eye. And I think that's the point where you realize, okay, this is the kind of game it's going to be. And once you take the field, it's like you've kind of entered the arena. You know, that's when you get your time to go out and show everyone what you got.
It's not like he sat down beforehand and put this together. This is leftover footage that Gotham Chopra has, and sure, he probably put it together. And he said, hey,
I just wonder if it's
going to
be every week, because they show him walking up and down the sidelines during warm-ups, and Ramsey's there, and they're talking trash. Ramsey's face is on it.
And there's this music.
And there's this music.
Sounds like a Jumanji.
But
like,
his Tom used to...
Doesn't it?
Yeah, but he put out these like pump-up videos, but it was all about... It was all about him. It was all about throwing to Gronk, throwing to Edelman.
What happened
now
to
it's about Ramsey.
What happened about the team? What is the team game? Right? Team game.
You can do anything with that music.
With the music, you can do anything.
You can do anything.
You can do something.
The point
I'll
is,
tell you what. Why don't you play that for 4 hours in the background and your show on Sunday morning?
You should do it.
And just not talk.
You can be like High Noon.
That's true.
The music in the background.
I can actually go over like my grocery list with that. And then people would listen.
But is that video not an opportunity for Ramsey to be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just uncharacteristic. It's weird.
It's weird of Tom to do stuff like that.
Well, is he trolling him?
He's trolling him.
Really?
Ramsey's all over the video.
Oh, he's just like,
if Ramsey
like
wasn't
video.
In the video. And
it's,
it was
like a hype, it's a hype video.
No, if it were just him in the
throwing
video.
Throwing passes to Gronk, throwing passes to Edelman, throwing touchdowns, watching the Patriots celebrate. That's what we used to.
Yeah.
Not.
You need to show Ramsey getting burnt and like getting knocked down and you know just something like that.
Christian, they spent all day behind closed doors, all week rather, talking about Ramsey. Now they're not going to do it publicly, and that's the problem Shannon Sharpe has with it. You know, he thinks they do one thing behind closed walls and another thing when they're in the open. He's right. That's what they do. That's
Shannon
what
Sharpe is.
Do.
He's had enough of the Brady.
I love Shannon.
I
was like, I just can't.
So he's had enough. He's had enough.
Love him.
He's got Brady fatigue, right? He's got Brady fatigue. Skip Bayless does not have Brady fatigue.
He loves him.
He is a Tom Brady supporter. Ooh, if he could be a Tom Brady jockstrap and just live in that area for like the next week, he would just love it.
He's the entire opposite of LeBron James to Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
Just the opposite.
What I always tell you happens in big games on
What's
Sunday
that?
Afternoon.
What's that?
Psycho touchdowns. Tom emerges.
Oh, I thought it was touchdowns. No. Psycho Tom.
I mean, he is. But here's the thing. This isn't anything new. He's been two different people. Believe me, most guys are. If you're kind of calm and collective, you know, like Teddy Bruschi's the same way. Teddy Bruschi walks around, chill. Doesn't have a, he's not screaming and, oh, you know, all this other stuff. You could put that guy on the field, a switch, different guy. Totally different guy. But other than that, you know, at home, you know, hanging out, dinner, he's not acting the same way. Show me a guy who isn't like that. Show me someone who can't. Who doesn't morph into almost like a different character,
well, especially in
a
that
different
sport.
Personality.
Chris, we'll see you next week, man.
Yeah. I mean, especially in that sport. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, where it is just like,
crazy.
Like in baseball, you can't come out like tackling somebody. You know, it's got to be a little more controlled, so you're not screaming, yelling unless you see like a, you know, an emotional triple double, clear the bases or something. But
Lou, in baseball,
you come out of the gate just wanting to hit someone.
Lou, in baseball, you get a walk, you stand at first base, you start talking to the opponent for like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
sit there and have a friendly conversation.
There's moments.
How's the wife? How the kids?
That's it.
You know, right?
Thanks, beautiful.
They don't do
that in
football.
Imagine on Sunday, every player's a different person.
What are we doing?
That's one of the chapters in my book.
Our man Foria. Over
that's
here.
One of the chapters in my book. You know, you have to. It's called. This is a great chapter. You guys are going to like this. You're going to love it. It's called The Role of a Lifetime. Mm. You step onto that field. It's called The Role of Every
role
Game.
Of a lifetime.
You become a character.
And I give you a shout out for you.
So I mean, maybe Brady has like a nickname for himself.
We saw
like,
game
you know,
day.
Game Day Brady game is like Captain Fourier. Amazing.
We saw Game Day Fourier. Glenn,
yes,
you and I.
When
you had Minahan pinned up against
see,
the freaking
again,
wall.
That never happened.
Lifted
I want
up off the ground.
You were psycho, Christian. You were.
That was game day Christian.
I also realized that Ordway's arms are really short. Because it's not like I'm fat, you know, but you would think he'd be able to grab me. He kept trying to pull me away. I was like, well, who is this?
I'm having a medical breakdown.
You may be the one that pushed Kirk right over the edge.
You think it's my fault?
It could be.
Maybe I could be the one to bring him back. How about that?
So Tommy Curran comes on this morning on Kirk and Callahan show, and he talks about Tom Brady. And if anybody says it, you're sitting there going, okay, you're just taking a stab in the dark or whatever. But Curran, I know, has got good contacts with the Brady people, the Brady camp, and also with the Kraft and with the Patriot camp. This is interesting what he thought about what happens to Tom Brady after next year.
If Tom Brady continues playing past 2019, my suspicion is he's going to play elsewhere. I think most people reflexively say, who are they going to get? Who are they going to draft? The draft is, you know, not that deep in quarterback. There are going to be guys who become free agents. There will be guys who can be coat holders. And I'm not saying this is dead locked in. But my feeling is I don't think he plays for the Patriots in 2020. That's my suspicion.
By his choice,
is that
though.
I mean, you're... No, I think it's mutual.
Mutual between Belichick.
Mutual between right. The Patriots.
Not Kraft, obviously.
And Brady.
Giants in 2020?
No, he's playing...
The
no,
Jets.
He's playing for...
Dolphins.
Kansas City.
In 2020.
Denver. What I said was, if Tom Brady continues playing past 2019, my suspicion is he's going to play elsewhere.
Denver. I go Denver. I'm saying that John Elway, a good quarterback. Hey, listen, look what I did with Peyton Manning. I got him one. I'm going to get a bunch of great defenders. I'm going to get a bunch of great defenders.
Jacksonville.
But Jacksonville is the template, right? It doesn't have to necessarily be template, but Jacksonville is a great example because great defense, going to be good for a while. Right? They can help you win games. You're limited, unbelievably limited at the quarterback position. And you don't have to. You
can
don't
you
have
imagine,
to do 2007 Brady.
Okay, let's just say Bortles is the quarterback next year as well for Jacksonville. Can you imagine watching this team for three straight years, knowing what you have, and knowing that your quarterback can't take you?
Are you going to blow your window of opportunity?
Oh, yeah, they're all going to be gone.
First off, I don't think
Denver's blowing it right now.
I don't agree with Tom.
I don't
think he's going anywhere. I mean, mutual. I mean, if you're the New England Patriots and you get by these 2 years, and you just sit there and say, why wouldn't I just give you the franchise tag?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Why don't I just pay you $30 million? The Patriots are dying for that sort of moment to where they don't fear that dead money when Tom Brady either just walks away, retires, or gets hurt.
Year to year
is the perfect thing for them.
Yeah, we just gave him the check mark of credibility, but I'm with you, Lou. This one makes absolutely no sense to me. Unless they have already tried to negotiate with Brady, they've already told him you're not going to get the extension because all we have to do is throw the franchise tag at you.
Depends
on
who's playing,
season.
Right? Obviously.
Right.
But
And he says, screw you. You throw the franchise tag at me, I'm out of here. I'll retire or whatever. I'll be gone. And Kraft not wanting in any way to upset Tom Brady because Tom's going to be coming back every single year for everything they do here because he's going to be the face of the history of this franchise. Doesn't want to upset Brady. Says, okay, you know what? We'll just let him go instead of franchising him. Is there any other way that you can envision if Brady can still play at the end of next season? There's nobody that's in the holding seat right now. It's not like Jimmy Garoppolo's still here. There's nobody here. How does Tom Brady not come back?
What if he just retires? What if he just says, maybe he's been lying to us. Maybe the whole 44, but
that's
45.
Not it, though. What he
saying?
Just
to throw you off the scent.
But he's saying if he plays somewhere next year. Right. And again, if they would happen to this year, it would make a little bit more sense, right? Jimmy's gone. There's no one here. But if last draft they did believe in Lamar Jackson, or they went after the next couple quarterbacks we mentioned, it went Mason Rudolph or Kyle Laletta, one of these three guys, they draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, basically. Then you could sit there and say, all right, maybe I could see it. We've got to see what this kid looks like or how they feel about him. But 2 years here, two more for Tom, and then this kid takes over. If they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo this past year, then it might make sense. But now, I don't know why. I don't know why it'd be mutual. New England would want to let him walk when he can just sign up for 1 year at a time.
Or the other thing that could happen, if he wants to emulate and follow in the footsteps of his hero, the guy that he looked up to, the guy that you know he couldn't get that number one foam finger at that championship game with the 49ers. Maybe he decides, you know what, I kind of look forward to playing for another team. You know, so Joe Montana was 37 when he left the 49ers, and he had 2 years with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he was beat up, broken down, and barely hanging on. But Brady, at 44, 45, I mean, 37 is, 44 is a new 37 in this age. I'd easily do it.
Well, that would be sitting there saying, he was my childhood hero, so let me try to follow in the same footsteps as Joe Montana. That makes no sense, though.
Weird.
You've already moved up into the number one position ahead of Joe Montana. You're the GOAT now. Why wouldn't you want to finish out your career with the team that you began your career with?
It's more impressive when you do that. Franchise tag, it's easy to do. Franchise tag him, give him the $30 million. I don't think he will bitch and complain about it. Probably more than he's ever made in 1 year anyways, compared to all the money these guys are doing.
So where's Curran coming up with this? He said both sides are cool with it. Where's he coming up with this?
He's tied in, but here's the thing. How about he just retires and he's done? How about that? He plays out his contract and he says, that's enough.
The problem with that is if he's still playing great at the end of next season.
It's the branding, it's the reputation of TB12.
He can do it at age 44.
He can do it
at age 45, and he's already told us wants to play until he's 45. How does he walk away at the end of next year unless he uses the family? Unless he sits there and says, Giselle wants me to walk away.
But don't you always blame the wife? Always overshoot your expectations? I want 45, but I'll be great. I'd be grateful and happy at 43.
Hey, he just said he could walk away and he could blame the wife.
Gazelle.
That's why when you start the mutual stuff, it would be easier for which side to part with one another. To me, it'd be easier for Tom to part with the New England Patriots and go elsewhere. Because he would go to a team like Jacksonville or like somewhere else, and he would go there if he's still playing at a high level. If the Patriots were to walk, if it was mutual, like Tommy Curran was saying, the Patriots said, Tom, go ahead. Because we're going to start. We'll get a little placeholder here for a little bit. Forget about it. It's over here. Does Bill think he can go out and win a Super Bowl 3 years from now without Tom Brady? Now, again, you got to play at a high level. We all know that. So if there's no injury and you're still playing at a high level, what is it, the salary cap? You don't want to pay a quarterback $30 million, so you got to let him move on? Okay, good luck, because I don't care who you bring in. I'm not sure the rest of your roster is good enough to win. Without Tom Brady, what is his team right now? They got more to lose than Tom. Tom can sit there and say, you want to let go of me? Fine. I'll go to a team. If I can play, I'm going to win for the next couple of years.
He will.
Suppose
Gronk walks away with him. They both go to the same place. See ya. Wow.
Because Josh is coaching.
Josh isn't going anywhere.
Well, Mike Giardi came up with something. I didn't hear it, but somebody mentioned it to me.
Of the NFL Network.
That Mike Giardi of the NFL Network mentioned the fact that it could be that if Belichick is still here at the end of next year, as opposed to Josh McDaniels coaching, that maybe he leaves.
That really is, the number one bet. Okay, who leaves first? Who cries uncle first? Is it Brady or is it Bill? If Bill doesn't want to coach until he's Marv Levy's age, isn't he kind of creeping up to that right now as we sit here?
Four years away.
Okay, so
3 years away. Right?
I mean, so honestly, so 45, maybe they just end up, like Thelma and Louise, and they just ride off into the sunset off a cliff. And then there's your cliff, Max Kellerman. There's your cliff.
No, you just painted a scenario where Bill, Tom, and Gronk retire in the same year.
Yeah, that'd be something. Yeah.
What's boy, are we going to have fun.
A lot of bullpen talk.
Six and ten. Yeah. All right, 617-779-7937. Load them up. We go to the phone calls coming up next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
The Patriots have been trying to move on from him. I think 43, his contract expires. Gronk's contract is up. Edelman's contract is up. They've played 20 years flat together. You know, Belichick and Brady. Regardless of who the replacement will be, the Patriots, beginning in 2014, when Belichick mentioned age and contract, began to try to replace Brady.
It's the start of the Danny Etling era, huh? Wow, sounds awful. Yeah. Jacob Hollister. And that's what you got. Here are the Mike Giardi quotes that I was referring to. He did it on the Sports Hub. I think a lot of what Brady does and where it goes is tied to age, performance, and is Bill Belichick still here, and what's the nature of their relationship? I think if Tom was playing well and Bill decided to walk away and Josh was in line to be the coach of the Patriots, I don't think Tom would leave. Said they're best buddies, which we know. It's clearly part of the reason why Josh is back. And he goes on to verify Tom Curran's credentials. Tom is very well plugged in, which is what we said.
Tied in, yeah.
I don't doubt his instincts on this at all. I just think there's so much tied into how Brady plays and what Bill does and where their relationship goes, and I don't think anybody can predict how long that's going to look 2-3 years from now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. 2014. Is that when they drafted Garoppolo? Right? Yeah. That he brought up the age. He brought up the age and contract of our quarterback. Yeah. Talking about Tom. So he started to plan for it. It's just that Tom screwed up the plan because he got even better over the next 3 or 4 years with Jimmy Garoppolo there. Just as good. Looked like he did the best 3 years of his career. So, yeah, they were thinking about it. So I'm sure they're still thinking about it. But there was no successor drafted. You know, there was no Jimmy G drafted. You drafted the kid Etling in the 7th round. Was only here just as a favor.
He's a body.
I don't know.
No, he's a body. He's a camp body.
Good for you. Proud of you, kid. I don't know. Stick around. Hang out. But they don't have a replacement. No, I mean,
could they
draft one next year and let him walk in a year and then bring in like a 1 year sort of stopgap guy? But I still think that would be a disaster if you're Bill Belichick.
And if you're Brady,
and you think
though,
this roster without Tom can win.
I don't think there's any way that you can walk away. Unless Tom Brady can't play after next season, there is absolutely no way you can walk away from him. I mean, forget about the replacement. What are we talking about? This is Tom freaking Brady. So unless his whole game totally falls apart, you pay him the $32, $33 million with a franchise tag. And the only reason I threw that out earlier is maybe he's pissed off and he doesn't want the stigma of the franchise tag. Maybe that's it.
No, there's no stigma. $30 million?
There is stigma.
What do you think? There's a
there is.
Wait, no. A stigma only exists for the young guys. The young guys get that stigma because they're 24, 25. They want a long-term deal. They don't want to sit there and do this piecemeal stuff. They want that security.
Not that $30 million isn't security, but...
That's implicit. At his age,
wouldn't you?
It's basically. Oh, stop it! It's basically a 1 year deal. Every year, just keep rolling. That's at his age, and is maybe he's unsure and things are changing. Why would he want to tie himself in?
So let me erase that because it was a stupid statement by me. Because the stigma of the franchise tag could easily be erased by saying, Tom, the franchise tag number is going to be $32 million. We don't want to embarrass you with giving the franchise tag. We're going to give you $34 million, and it won't be part of the franchise tag. It'll be a 1 year deal.
We're going to franchise Gronk.
And we'll give you.
Sorry, you guys are sticking together.
We'll give you a second year, non guaranteed. So it'll tie into what Drew Brees is doing. I don't know. To the phone calls. Here's Herb in Quincy. Hi, Herb.
Hey guys.
Hey Herb.
The only thing I wanted to add to the conversation was Brady's getting hit a lot more than he ever has in his career.
No, he's not. Michael Irvin, no, he isn't.
He is not getting hit, Herb. Not. Aaron Rodgers is getting hit far more than him. Ben Roethlisberger is getting hit far more than him.
That the hits that he takes at this age hurt more than the hits that he took at an earlier age. And he could take a hit from one of these really good teams and basically the decision be made for you.
Herb, he's taking fewer hits than any quarterback out there right now. And when he releases the...
It's like Fred Astaire.
What?
Fred Astaire out there in the park.
Dancing around, soft shoeing it all over the place.
So you're saying...
It's good contemporary.
Everybody knows who he is.
He's not getting hit more than he's ever
had. No, he isn't. I say less.
Just the opposite.
Yep.
Here's the other one.
When the hit gets hit, they can't fall on him. They can't put all their weight on him anymore.
They can't do anything with him.
You can't even put all 350 pounds on a guy. He can't
raise his face. But here's the other one.
He's told us that he's already figured out after he releases the ball when he gets hit, he's already recoiled. He knows exactly.
Like a snake.
And so he's, you know.
Cobra Kai.
This is part of the Alex Guerrero theory, you know. You go down gently. Paul's in Westfield next up here on OMF. Paul?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good, Paul.
Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Glenn, I just about fell out of my chair when you're tossing an extra $15 to $19 million at Tom. I didn't realize you were Rockefeller willing to double a person's contract, but I do have a better.
Hold on, double
his totally
contract.
Worth it.
The franchise tag by 2020 for a quarterback will be over $30 million.
Yes, sir. But in New England, we have this thing called negotiate and give and take.
But his contract will have expired. It'll be done.
Be a free agent.
He's a free agent. So free agent is.
You haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
You haven't seen free agent, Tom.
Yeah. See, I think he'll want more than the franchise tag, Paul.
Ooh, check, please. Correction. You are right. And then to Joe Kelly. We have to agree on two things. One, Sandy DeLeon does not hit. We've got the Brock star. So don't let Sandy DeLeon hit. And clearly with Kelly, if you have a one-run lead, as we saw last night, we got two outs, nobody on base, and load them up, as Glenn would say, and then bing, hit number player four, and there goes your one-run lead. So you can't have Kelly pitch when there's a one-run lead. We need someone slicker and more lock them down.
I'm not sure Kelly's. I think Kelly might have been it.
No, don't be that fatalistic.
No, I'm just saying. I'll get another opportunity to pitch in a regular season, but I'm not so sure he's gonna be on this roster.
He just hasn't thrown
consistently enough. He doesn't throw strikes enough. He just can't get his breaking ball over strike one. He tries. He can't do it.
You can't put him in the eighth inning when a game is on the line.
Can't do it.
You saw that last night. Imagine doing that against one of these playoff teams like Cleveland or Houston or the Yankees. Are you kidding me? You can't trust him. I don't know about not being on the playoff roster. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
No, I don't think he is. And I tell you, this last 2 weeks, I like it because these games are meaningless and Cora has created a competition and stressful situations to where these guys got to come out and prove they can do it. He's given different guys seventh, eighth innings. That's the highest stress you can get with a lead. And some guys are proving, they all got stuff, but some guys are proving mentally that they might be able to handle it while others are proving they aren't. So they're deciding who makes this roster or not. I don't think Brandon Workman's got the best stuff out there. But if he continues to be brought into tough spots and is aggressive, three pitches by you, confident, then he's going to find his way because mentally he can handle those late innings more than others.
You better be hoping and praying. And it might,
it's all hope and prayer.
And these guys might change by the night, by the week, when you get into the postseason. The Joe Kelly experiment last night was disastrous. And I don't blame Cora.
I think the fight is over.
Yeah, I don't blame Cora for trying this stuff out. He has no other choice. Dombrowski has not left him with the right personnel. He doesn't have guys that can go out there and do it.
But that's why you've seen Wright with the eighth inning. You see Pointer with the seventh, or Kelly with the eighth. And you're seeing all these different combinations, and people sitting there going, what the hell is Cora doing? Well, he's not necessarily managing for this win. They're still trying.
No, I have no problem with Kelly.
And they have. But what he's doing is, I have a great opportunity to see what this kid's like in this spot. Does he crap himself or can he throw strikes?
I've got no problem with what he's doing. I have a problem in the fact that he does not have an eighth inning guy. And I don't see an answer between now and the time they start the playoffs on October 4th or whatever. He doesn't have an eighth inning guy. And you got a perfectly good six innings last night out of Rodriguez, out of E-Rod. And yet, what good is it? You needed some, a fluky error in the ninth inning to actually win that game last night.
Mm-hmm. Boston Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly holding it down here.
Yeah, he's not holding anything down. But why did he go to Pointer? So why did he go to Pointer in the eighth?
Lefty?
Oh, no, pressure situation. You're just trying to see if he can handle it.
It's an audition. It's a tryout.
And because he's creating pressure situations in meaningless games. win-loss doesn't matter as much as if I find out this kid can do it in that spot. He might not be my eighth, but come playoff time in the sixth, it's going to act like the eighth now. There's going to be a lot of pressure on you.
I think it's going to be an eighth by committee. I think it's. I don't think it's going to be one guy. I think he's going to sit there and evaluate the staff that he has, and based on how they look or what they say or how they walk into the locker room, he's going to sit there and say, you know what, I'm thinking about going with Wright in the eighth. I'm thinking about going with Brazier in the eighth. It's not going to be one guy or Barnes. I just don't believe he has that luxury one guy.
He doesn't
because
have
not him. One guy has stepped up and says, you know what, you can trust me. I got him. You.
So I don't know how you do this. So I would say this, that Alex Cora will have the hardest job of any manager in the postseason because in his case, he's got to make a lot of decisions. A lot of decisions without guys who have proven in the role that you're going to drop them in.
Alex, that's make me feel better.
Yeah.
I think Workman might have taken Kelly's spot just last night.
That's scary.
And I mean, recently he's been okay. But the problem I have with Workman
is...
No,
that's not scary. Good.
Yeah, I don't know if Workman's going to bring 94 with him one night or 90, 91. I've seen that from him recently, too. I'm going, what happened? Thornburg's the same way. 94 and then 91. But Workman's a guy that's got experience. He's shown more in pressure spots than any one of these guys. And I don't think he's got the best stuff. I just think maybe he's got some, you know what? I think he's got a set. And I think that's what he's trying to find out these last few weeks in meaningless games, which I think he can, and he is. Putting him in big spots. And get him all the eighth inning right now just to find out who craps themselves. Last night, Kelly crapped himself.
And you know what? I don't think he's going to have a better idea by the time the regular season is over anyways.
Might not.
I think as far as the process of elimination goes, Joe Kelly has been knocked the F out. He's done. I don't want to see him, period. You talk about trust yesterday, talking about trust and David Price and all this other stuff.
You got knocked the f out, man.
Do you believe at all in Joe Kelly? That's a huge no.
I don't believe in any of them in the eighth inning. None
I know, but again,
them.
I think you need Star to, I think you need, I think you need to stop thinking about it as the eighth. I just stop. You're so hell bent on looking at it as the eighth, and I get it.
I think it's important.
It is, but I don't. I think you need to look at it just a little bit differently because that title is not going to be given to anybody.
I agree with you.
I mean,
you.
It's like nobody. Okay, but, we know who the closer is.
They don't have anybody.
Fine.
Christian,
we know
I get
the,
it. They have
we
nobody.
Know who the closer is.
They have nobody that can do it.
You think it's going to? Okay, do you think it's going to be one guy?
No.
Or a bunch of different guys.
I think it's
going to
be based on the set of circumstances, the matchup on every night.
To his point.
That should not happen in the playoffs.
Okay, well, then,
you play
162
games.
Okay, so blame it on Dombrowski. Okay,
this is Dombrowski's fault.
Okay, fine. So it's his fault. And you know whose responsibility is to deal with it?
Cora.
Yeah. So.
No, you're right, because the eighth inning is going to turn into who's leading off. All right. And this is how they're going to do it, whether it's Oakland or New York. You know, everybody in that bullpen that they're thinking about putting in, they're saying, okay, why is he in there? Who does he get out? Every hitter in that Yankee lineup has a scouting report. This is where he's ineffective. This is where his strengths are. This is where we can get him out. High velocity guy or a curveball guy or a slider guy, whatever it might be. And they're going to start matching their relievers to these hitters. And they're going to say, you're going to get this guy. You're going to get that guy. So, yeah, in the eighth inning, you might start with Brazier and come in with Barnes. And if a guy gets on, you'd say, let's go with Embry.
The most important decisions that a manager has to make, certainly in a playoff game, is going to the bullpen and who to bring in. So every other manager that's in this tournament is going to sit there and say, okay, I got my sixth inning guy, I got my seventh inning guy, my eighth inning, and I got my closer. Alex Cora is going to spin a wheel every single night to figure out which guy he's going to use in every situation.
How fun is it going to be the morning after the game?
But it puts tremendous pressure on a manager to make every right move.
Okay, yeah,
and he can't
not,
do that.
It's
he
not perfect. I'm sorry. Your quarterback just got an elbow and he's out of the game. Okay, who's your backup? Okay, deal with it. Create a different game plan for that quarterback based on his skill set.
We don't have an injury problem right now.
Okay, I know, but your point is you're acting like, whoa, he's me.
You didn't load up on guys.
Yeah, but that happened.
If anyone can hit, you had an opportunity.
That's in the past.
You blow it. They blow it.
Do you think, okay, because I think based on the way he's handled this entire year, he seems pretty capable of being able to.
I'm praising him.
Okay,
he's
I know.
He's been tremendous.
In a tough spot.
They have left him with trash in a bullpen.
Yeah, I agree with you. That you're not going to get a debate out of that.
And he has to manipulate it on a pitch-by-pitch basis with trash.
Sorry. You know, this car doesn't have one of the tires.
I just want to know.
Romy loves you.
When this playoff run is over, I want to know who Tozawa's going to be. Who's going to be the Tozawa?
Good luck.
Because I'm just saying, in 2013, remember when Tozawa came in? Remember that Detroit series?
Yeah.
I think he got Miguel Cabrera three times, like punched him out three times. He was outstanding in that run to set up Koji. So which one of these guys is that guy?
Good luck.
That's going to face Miguel Cabrera in huge spots like when Miguel was the man and get him out.
Yeah.
Because he had stones to go with the stuff. I know these guys got stuff, but they're so inconsistent that I'm not so sure what they have as far as, like, you know, if they got any or not.
Yeah, and the other and these other teams have slotted guys who have specific roles. All right, we got one more segment to go. If you missed Sour Shoes this morning with KNC, we're going to replay a little bit of it.
Let's get you back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here on OMF, Sour Shoes from the old Stern Show. He calls up a lot of different shows. He used to call Mike and the Mad Dog and call Dan Patrick, and he does unbelievable impressions. Today, he made another call to KNC.
And you know, you're right, John. See, and up until the wild card format of 1994, August and September meant something. But now, with the way the Yankees and Red Sox are playing, like they did from 1999 to 2012, these games are meaningless.
You can crunch all you want, Susan, but the crunch will never give you away. Here's Mr. Imus.
I'll tell you something. That's Serena Williams. I'd love to rub a little hot sauce all over those thighs, wouldn't you? You could have a meal for a week. Quack, quack.
And I have no sympathy, and you know I watch a lot of tennis, Mike.
I agree with you, dog. I think the problem is that nobody in the building doesn't even care about tennis anymore. The ratings are down, okay?
How is the app going, Mike? People want to know what's going on with the app. Are people liking the app?
Well, it's more of a nap, if you ask me. you fall asleep. This is groundbreaking stuff we're doing, okay? This is groundbreaking stuff.
His friend says
amazing.
Is right on. It is unbelievable.
That went on for about 8 minutes at the end of their show.
Oh, that's all we get? Oh, I missed that.
That's good.
Yeah, so what you're saying is my crank calls really suck.
Yeah, you
compared
got
to his
stepping up to do.
Yeah, so you don't necessarily do impersonations.
Yeah, he does.
Well, I try to. They all morph into the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, used to be Mr. T.
You're trying to like impersonate somebody from, like, you know, Boston.
Yeah.
No, no one in particular. You're not trying to be Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Sound like him.
Yeah. I couldn't do it. It would turn into either Mr. T or
Version Fourier.
No, it isn't. No.
They got you.
You're right up there.
Ah,
so,
yeah, gotcha.
So next week, Joe Castiglione and John Sterling are going to switch places.
They are. Tuesday's game, I believe.
Tuesday's game?
Yeah.
If you're Sterling, do you come in to Boston, on here, and take some shots? You do, don't you?
Lots of nicknames.
Strap them
he's
on.
Gotta, he's got to get the nicknames
See, Joe
ready.
Won't do that. Joe
so
will be
Susan
nice.
Susan and Joe? Is that right? Susan and Joe?
Joe will be nice.
Sterling and Everett?
In New York, Joe will not do that. I'm sure he'll go.
You got something to read. I know you got something to read. It's really important.
This last segment has been brought to you by Cars for Kids. Now would be a great time to clean out your garage. Donate that old car to Cars for Kids. Christian, why don't you donate your new car?
Huh?
I don't have
a new car.
You don't need it. See how easy it is. Call today. 1-877 Cars for Kids or online at carsforkids.com. 9 a.m. Sunday. Don't miss it.
9 a.m. Sunday.
Terry,
good luck in Nantucket.
For 4 hours. Yeah, tomorrow. I'll be around for Sunday for the real postgame show with Steve and with Fred. And we'll join us all on Monday for Patriots Monday down in Foxborough with Bill Belichick. Have a great weekend, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.